You're on.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Alex. I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. Happy to be here tonight to share, just past my 1 year anniversary of abstinence, my story with you. So, tell you a little bit about what things were like, what happened, and what things are like now. So, I grew up in a very happy family. Mom and dad, they were married 57 years before my dad passed in 2022. I have one brother. He's 10 years younger than I am. You know, by all means, a very perfect, idyllic childhood. One of my old sponsors told me that it was important to share that because so often in OA, you know, you hear stories of tragedy and trauma, and I had none of that, and yet I still ended up in this program. I was a very active child, ballet lessons, karate lessons, swimming, gymnastics. So I think that kept the weight down. My mama was used to say how I acted very differently when I had friends over. I was an only child for the first 10 years, but it kind of took coming to OA and looking back at my history with a different set of eyes, so to speak, to be like, well, maybe that's because you fed me all that sugar. But neither here nor there. So I, you know, grew up. I was captain of the high school swim team, so the weight was fairly normal. But you know, in college, gained the freshman 15, and somewhere by my mid 20s, I had put on weight to the point where when I tried to bend over and tied my shoes, I like had to come up between feet to breathe because there was just so much me in the in between me and my shoes. So I joined Away and Pay, and I did that for 20 years. I even stayed in that Way and Pay for the first few years that I was in OA. You know, that was my food plan, and OA was hopefully my salvation, which it has been. But I chased the same 25 pounds around the scale, and it really took coming to OA for me to understand, you know, why that was. Why did every diet that I ever tried fail? So, had 3 kids in 6 years, and then was lucky enough to find a job that was like 3 minutes from my house, which was fantastic. My youngest was a year old. My kids had just started elementary school, so I was right in town. And when I read my diaries from those years, I don't know how I didn't get fired. I was in and out of that building. Oh, this one forgot her key. That one's got to go to this practice. I have to pick this one up and bring. It was crazy, absolute insanity. But one of the good things is I made a friend at that job, and he was in OA. So I, you know, we. They had started a walking club, right? So the first week, you know how it goes. There's 14 people the first week. And then the second week, there's 8 people. And then the third week, there's 6 people. Eventually, it got down. It was just the two of us. But for many years, we would walk on our lunch hour together and talk. And like I said, he was in OA. I did not know what OA was. I hadn't heard of it. So I was kind of in program before I was in program, before I even knew what program was. And he would share his experience, strength, and hope with me. And he had given me a copy of the Brown Book, which is, I think it was the second edition. The third edition had just come out. So the meetings were getting rid of their older copies of the second edition. And he said, you know, read this and see if it resonates. And it did, you know. I read those stories, and in every single one of them, it was like, wow, I've done that, or wow, I felt that way. And I started to think that, you know, maybe people in OA were not so very different than I was. So I went to my first meeting. And I'm happy to say that in the 10 years I've been in program, that's one thing that I maintain consistently is I have continued to go to meetings. This was kind of my home meeting. You know, we used to be live and in person in Center State, now we're online. But I think maintaining that contact, you know, was really important. OA gave me a lot of eye opening, especially going back through my history. When I, you know, did my compulsive eating history, I came up with a list. It's got to be like 25 or 30, you know, memories of growing up, places that we went as a family, things that we did, activities. And for every single one of those, I could tell you the food that I wanted to eat when we went there. That was kind of surprising, you know. And it also, like I said, took coming to OA to understand why every diet I have ever tried failed is because I'm a sugar addict and I consistently went back to the sugar. And even in the early years of OA, when once I knew that about myself and I understood that, I was absolutely gobsmacked that I could not beat this. I couldn't put it down. I couldn't stay away from it. There was just, I was truly an addict to this substance. So what happened? So I struggled in program on and off. You know, I had a period of abstinence followed by a period of relapse, followed by a slightly longer period of abstinence, followed by a slightly longer period of relapse. And that just continued, you know, up to the last few years. And then last year, I was, you know, kind of feeling at a crossroads. I was like, okay, we got to make a decision here. It's either we walk away from this. You know, I was only doing one meeting. I was doing intergroup. You know, I had a position at intergroup. I think at the time I was the treasurer or the webmaster. And I was like, you know, maybe we should just walk away. But I felt bad because I know that, you know, service positions are difficult to fill. You know, a lot of people don't want to volunteer. You know, and then it was like the other option was to lean in. And then one day I got a call from a friend who was at an OA meeting, and he said, you know, they were in person. He's like, hey, he's like, you're kind of tech savvy. He's like, we've got this TV in here, and we want to know if we can use it for hybrid meetings. He's like, you know, can you come over? And this meeting was literally 3 minutes away from my house. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? Let me jump in the car. I'll come over. So I went, and that got my ass out of the house, which was, you know, a miracle. I work from home consistently, exclusively, basically. You know, the rest of my company is down in South Carolina, so I'm like, you know, this outlier here in New Jersey all by myself. But, you know, I went to that meeting and I kind of took that phone call as one of those God moments. I was like, you know, this was God tapping you on the shoulder through someone else saying, don't walk away, lean in instead. So I did. And that's how I got to a year of abstinence. I started working the program. We say it all the time. It works if you work it. And I think that's true for any program, any diet. It works if you work it. How am I working it? I got a sponsor. Every day, every night, I turn my food over and I write her an email that talks about my gratitude for the day, what was my glitch in my day, what was good about my day, and what are my goals for the next day. And let me tell you, that email takes time to compose. It's not a snappy little thing. The food has gotten easier. That is, you know, I pretty much know my family's rhythms. You know, like I know, you know, tonight, Monday night's always the same thing because I have this meeting. So it's, you know, something from outside. But you know, sometimes the other things they take a little while. And I'm not perfect. I'm not. I, you know, some nights I just don't want to do it, or I start it and I sit there and I think about it so long that I finally give up. I'm like, I gotta go to bed and I'll do it in the morning. But I do try to at least email every day, you know. So if it's not every night, then the first thing the next morning, that is on my to-do list. I have a food plan that I follow, and I found something that is flexible enough that I can live with this for the rest of my life. It's pretty simple. Three meals a day, nothing in between. You know, breakfast is a starch, a fruit, and a milk. And then the other meals are a protein, a starch, a fruit, and a vegetable in sensible portions. You know, some of it, you know, like pre-measured, like a packet of whatever, you know, like you don't have to go measure that, or like a little cup of something. You know what they are. But yeah, for the rest of it, yeah, I, you know, like I have a serving spoon that's a half cup. So I know when I take a scoop of something at dinner and put it on my plate, that's half a cup. You know, I didn't have to get out a measuring spoon. I didn't, or a measuring cup or a scale. So again, not perfect, but progressing. You know, it's one plate. It's not a, you know, a townhouse. It's, you know, a single level, you know, a one timer. What else? Meetings, continuing to go to meetings. Doing service has really been, you know, a big part of this. Like I said, that was kind of what kept me from walking away last year, because I knew service positions were hard to fill and I didn't want to leave people in a lurch. And, you know, so that was part of it. But recently, I picked up sponsoring, which shocked the daylights out of me. I'm like, no way am I ready to, you know, I'm not perfect. I don't know how to do. And my sponsor was like, it doesn't matter. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to be there, you know, to help somebody through, to get somebody started. You know, you share your experience, strength, and hope with the other people. And it has been an absolutely remarkable thing in my life. You know, I was in a fight with my husband over the weekend, and I spoke to my sponsee. And after that call, it was just like, you know, this is dumb. Let me go make my amends. I know I have to do that. So I, you know, like that was, it was just so like inspiring to be there for other people. What else can I tell you? There's still 5 minutes left. Yeah, that's kind of it, actually. What it was like, how I got here, and what it's like now. And I'm so grateful. Oh, the other piece. Consistently, I forget this. Yeah. So I went to an in-person meeting this morning, and I shared again that, the one piece of this program that I seem to have a built-in forgetter about is the spiritual part. God is never my go-to. I think overall, I have given up a lot of control. Maybe not all of it, but I definitely understand now that it's my job to do the footwork and the results are up to him. I had a situation today. A coworker texted me. They fired a very good friend of mine. She said they're walking so and so out now. And I was like, oh my God, this poor man, he's a few years older than I am, starting all over at this age, how difficult that is. And I thought about, well, what does that mean for my job? Am I in jeopardy? And I was running late for the meeting, but I very easily could have said, oh, this is too much. I'm not going. I said, no, you need to go. So I got my butt out the house. I went to the meeting, and the very first reading that we did in for today was about, remembering like who's in control. And that was, it just gave me such a feeling of peace to remember and to be able to turn over to God and say, look, I know you have a plan for him. I don't know what it is, just please take care of him and see him through that. And it was so nice for me to be able to let that go. So thank you again for your time, and I wish you all the best.